For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, December the 27th, 1981. This is the December 25th to New Year's Eve family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. I, Glenn Miller, am speaking on holiness unto the Lord, and Irma is speaking on rend your heart.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence amongst us, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Hallelujah.
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 Shikuri da da da. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise your name this morning, Lord. We bless your name today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I think we all know the announcements. There are some that are new here this morning. There will be lunch will be served in the dining hall as soon as morning service is over, and we ask that you be in a spirit of prayer today as the Spirit of the Lord moves and works in our hearts and lives, and the ministry of the Word comes forth, that we may become a greater light to shine forth in this darkened world. Amen. I'm going to read you a verse of Scripture, and then I'm going to ask us to do what that Scripture says. It's over in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, and it has to do with offering. Now, there's a couple of verses ahead of that that ask us if man will rob God. It says that we have if we don't bring our tithes and our offerings. And it says you're cursed with a curse if you've done this. And he says that even the whole nation has. And of a truth, we have all been guilty. And we need to, and those who haven't, need to ask the Lord to cleanse them of this, that the curse that the Lord says that we're cursed with will be lifted from us, that our finances and the blessing of the Lord will be ours. And over in verse 11, it tells that he will rebuke the devourer if we fulfill this. And then it says, and all nations shall call us blessed. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And Lord, I pray today that the Lord will help all of us to come to a right understanding of the financial condition of each one of our lives, that we may come under the blessing of the Lord, and that his blessing may be poured forth unto us, that we may be that lighthouse. And men may look at us and wonder and realize then that the Lord hath done it. And it's not what we have done, but it's what he has done through us, because we are faithful in fulfilling his word in our lives and keeping his promises or his commandments, that his promises will be sure unto us. And then men will see that the Lord does and is blessing us. And they in turn will want to serve the Lord. If people don't see anything in us, they see no reason to serve the Lord. It has to be in us, so that then they in turn will see the blessing of the Lord and will want that blessing. So this morning I'm going to ask that we bring, as the Scripture tells us to do, to bring our tithes and our offerings. And I'm going to ask Irma to come and the musicians to help in a song of worship unto the Lord, a course of worship unto the Lord, as we bring our offering unto him this morning. Irma?
You know, if we don't walk with God while we live, there wouldn't be any purpose in living, would there? That I purpose in my heart always. Let me walk with God. I want to walk with him. I want to talk with him. I want to listen to his voice. I want to hear what he has to say to me even today. Is that your prayer? We can hear what the Spirit is going to say to us today. Thank you. God bless you.
Father, I thank you today for the privilege we have of gathering together to praise and worship you. And Father, as I come and as the priest and take this offering that you have presented unto you this morning, and I come and stand here this morning and accept it from these people on your behalf as they've given unto thee. Father, I come and present it unto you through Jesus, our high priest, and ask that it be an offering and a sweet savor in your nostrils this morning, that you receive it and be glad and rejoice in your heart because of your people that have come this morning to rejoice in giving for thee. And I thank you the privilege I have, Lord, of coming and becoming the steward of it, and becoming responsible, Lord, for the disbursement of it. And Father, as I receive it from them, and as I receive it back as the offering that I've given unto thee, and I become responsible for it, I bind it unto the kingdom of the living God. And I bind it to the cause of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it shall be used for nothing except the furtherance of the gospel and the necessities of life of those whose hands it goes through, from now until the day comes when money is not needed and you become truly Lord of lords and King of kings, and every knee does bow and proclaim that thou art King of kings and Lord of lords of all and all. And I thank you, Lord, this morning, and I claim this money for thy kingdom and for thy glory, that it shall multiply no matter whose hands it goes through, that it shall multiply again and again and again and again unto thy kingdom, and that it shall be, and that you shall rejoice in it through the ages to come because of the faithfulness of your people. I bless them today, Lord, and I pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost over them and over their lives and their finances and their families. I pray health and life unto them in the name of the Lord Jesus, and your blessing over them for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to minister to you for a little while this morning. Originally, I had planned that I would have Irma minister first, and then I would minister close this morning. But after considering what I have to bring and what Irma is going to follow me with, I felt it best that I should let her conclude and close. I'm going to talk to us a little while this morning on the subject called unto holiness. And that is a subject that is greatly lacking amongst God's people. We can forget the rest of the world. The scripture basically is written to God's people. That's you and me. And we are responsible for the word of the Lord to each one of us. And then to be a light unto the rest of the world. But if we can't live before the Lord in righteousness and holiness, what do we have to present unto the rest of the world? Why are we any different? Why do they want to have what we've got? Tell me. They are not interested unless we have something that's different. Unless our life shows that we have something that's different. And when I'm talking about holiness, I'm not talking about dresses to your ankle and all of those things like Brother Corley mentioned last night. I'm talking about the condition of the heart before the Lord. And if the condition of the heart is right before the Lord, these other things will also be right. And you'll be in moderation in all things. And there'll be no extremes that Satan can pounce on and use against you and cause others to be able to use it to say, I don't want any of what you've got, you see. Because the Lord, I don't believe the Lord is an extremist except in one thing, and that is worship unto Him. Worship unto the Lord, He is not only extreme, He is absolute. For He says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And that is absolute. So unto the Lord we are called unto holiness. So let's turn over to Leviticus chapter 11. I'm just going to use verse 45. Before that, the Lord's telling them that they should not defile themselves with things, and because the Lord says that He is holy. In verse 45, He says, "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." And there again, I notice the word I am. The absolute. That means more than just, I am holy. It means, as He said to Moses, I am the I am that I am.
So therefore, be thou holy. That's really the way we can read that. And he says that he's bringing you out of the land of Egypt, or me. He's bringing us forth from the abominations of the world. We have to want to be brought forth from Egypt. We have to desire in our hearts that we want Egypt out of us. It's one thing to come out of Egypt, but the hardest problem is to get Egypt out of me. The traditions of my elders, the things of my forefathers that I have grown up and been raised with, the leeks and the garlics that we like to turn back to because we were raised with them. And we thought they were part of us, when in reality, they were just something that was hanging on to us that didn't belong there. The Lord wants us to find these things in our lives and separate ourselves from the things of Egypt. The traditions of the elders, the traditions of your denomination, some of the teachings of your denomination. Search the Scriptures and see if those things be true, and then shake them off. Separate yourself from them, that you may be holiness unto the Lord. Over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 17, I'm going to begin with. This is some of the things of Egypt. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other heathen walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being annihilated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. We might read that this way, the blindness of my heart. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So he asks us to cleanse our mind, put off the old man and put on the new man. And the new man is patterned after the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to continually cleanse ourselves from within, from our mind and things that rise in our mind. Ask the Lord, as they arise and come there, cleanse our mind of those thoughts and appropriate and apply the blood of the Lord Jesus there to wash away the things that arise in our mind that have been sown in there since we were children, since we're in school and our friendship and all of these things that are not of God. And as they return, and they do, and as these thoughts return to your mind, immediately take authority and control over that item, that thought. Say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I take control and authority over you. And in Jesus' name, I rebuke you and cast you from me. And I cleanse that area of my mind with the blood of the Lord Jesus. And I remove you from my mind. And I will replace you with the word of the Lord. And our minds, we don't use our minds, really. Very little. We have 10% of our minds. But that part that we do use, let's cleanse that out and renew it with the word of the Lord, so that we'll not be tormented by the tormentor. That's exactly what it is. It's torment. And as these torments come up, take control over them, these thoughts that are not of the Lord, these unclean thoughts, things of torment. Take control over each one as they arise in your daily life and in the weeks and the months. And cleanse your mind of them. And then replace it with the word of the Lord. And you'll find that the things that torment you will gradually go away as you do these things. Now, demon powers are another situation. But even demon powers, lots of them will leave. And as you do this, it will cause them to leave. Because you're cleansing the place in your mind, the place in you that they have a place in the ground to. And as you take that ground away, they have no right there, and they cannot torment you. They will just leave of their own accord because they want to be away from where the presence of the Lord is ruling in your life. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that's what you're doing. You're putting on the new man as you do this. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another, or we're helpers one of another, helping each other. And be not angry, and sin not, but if you do get angry, he says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. That's kind of hard for some of us to do, you know. But the Lord says if we do that, then we'll have a sweet spirit. The next time we won't get mad so easy. We'll be able to control it. And eventually, that demon of anger will leave, even if you don't get it cast out of you. He'll eventually go of his own. You know, there's lots of ways of deliverance. It isn't just all casting them out. Now, we have to cast them out. That's true. But if you don't help take away the place that demon had a right to when he's gone, he'll end up coming back. So all of our work is in vain. Drew worked his life out day and night, and Herm and I work our lives out, and Corley's and others in the ministry, and all you're doing is taking up our time because you're not doing anything to keep the area clean. You see? Or you've got to work at it too. You want to be free of these things. It's true. We want you to be free of them. But search the Word and use the Word to keep yourself free and to come against them and stand in your own right in the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus, because the Word says so. That's what the Lord used with Satan, wasn't it? He says, Satan, it is written. Amen. And the Word of the Lord says, this thought just come to me. The Scripture says that He gives us health in all of our flesh. Amen. So I say unto Satan, Satan, it is written. The Word says that we shall have health in all of our flesh. Amen. Amen. We decree today strength and health unto every one of us. Because the Word of the Lord says, Satan, it is written that the Lord gives us health in all of our flesh. And that He renews our health as the eagle and our strength. Amen. So we claim that. We claim that. We use that Word to stand on it. Amen. And also, I claim another verse. It's not really a verse. I claim, I can go find a verse. I don't know where it's at, but it's a thought. That Moses, the Lord gave him 120 years. And Moses had 120 years, and I'm claiming 120 years. By that time, while the Lord will have been changed the kingdom around, and maybe there won't be any more death for us by then. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. But Moses had got 120 years, and Lord, help me to be able to walk before you so that I can have that also. But if you don't step out there and look for it and claim it, you know, you've got to set a goal out there, and you've got to believe in that goal. And if you don't put something in your heart to believe, and you don't take the Word and use it to stand on and to believe it, you'll never get there. If you don't believe the Word of the Lord says there's deliverance and cleansing for you, you'll never receive it. If you don't believe the Word of the Lord says there's healing and deliverance and restoration for you, you'll never receive it. You have to believe it because it says so in the Word of the Lord. It is written. And because it is written, it belongs to me. And it's mine. Hallelujah. And I put it in my heart and I hide it there. And I stand on it. And it's mine. It's mine, mine, mine. Hallelujah. In the right way, not in the wrong way. That's what our little girl used to say when our son was born. And we set him in her high chair. And it was comical then, but it's tragic today because we didn't understand. But she used to pound the floor and beat her head on the floor and say, mine, mine, mine. Mine high chair. Mine diapers. Mine powder. And we thought it was funny. But it was very serious. And oh, if we had known better, what heartaches there could be changed in that girl's life and in our lives. Because we didn't know to conquer that thing. Because we thought it was cute. And it was a demonic power that is still in ways ruling her yet today. She needs that spirit cast from her so that she'll come under authority instead of rebellion. Lord, forgive us because of the errors of our ways. Help us, Lord, that we can help others from falling in that error, that they can take authority over their children and bind up the rebellion in them and the things that are not of God as their children, and bind them and cast them out in the name of the Lord, and walk and help them that they'll walk and become holy and righteous in the young life, that they'll grow up to be full of the Holy Ghost, filled with the authority and the power of the living God. That's necessary today as we move forth to conquer and take dominion over Satan and to bind him up and to put him underfoot so that the Lord may return to a place prepared for him by his people. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, let's see. What verse was I at? 24. Praise the Lord. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away the lying, and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are all members one of another, be ye not angry, and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, and neither give place to the devil. And that's just what I've been talking about, is how to keep from giving place to him, so that he has no rights. And then he comes, when he comes, he finds no place to come back to, no house swept and clean, but he finds a place full of the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost, where the glory of the Lord rules and reigns, and he wants no part of that kind of a house. And he'll leave you and not return. Oh, the tempter may come, but he'll not find a house that he can come to if you keep your guard up in the name of the Lord. And let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands for the thing that which is good, that he may have to give to him that is in need. So the Scripture teaches us that by working with our hands, we have sufficient for us, and also that which is needed for others who are truly needy and are unable to supply for themselves, that he will supply through our hands the needs that is necessary. And let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Hallelujah. So, as our lives, as the word of the Lord is applied to our lives, and our lives are cleaned up, then we are able to be a minister that ministers edifying the Lord to all that we come in contact with. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Praise the Lord. So you see, the Lord, God has to forgive us because of what Jesus done on the cross. And when we come and ask forgiveness, we have to come and ask for it. When we come and ask for it, the Lord is bound by his word because of Jesus' sacrifice to forgive us. So when you think that, oh, I'm too this or I'm too that, or the Lord can't do this or do that, so you're mistaken, because the word of the Lord says that for Christ's sake, he will forgive us and cleanse us and deliver us, give us the Holy Spirit, set us free, we may glory in him and praise and worship him. Praise the Lord. Over in Revelations chapter 22, Revelations 22 verse 11 sums up in a way just what I read. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. So it shows that there is a separation between the peoples of the earth. And there are those who desire holiness and righteousness. There are those who desire to be like Jesus. And there are those who want no part of it. And when you argue and try to convince, you waste your time with them. Don't try to convince or argue with somebody. Tell them and leave them. Then if you're still concerned about them, then you go on your knees and you pray for them. And let the Spirit of the Lord work with them. Loose the spirit of adoption over them. Loose the spirit of conviction over them. Loose the Holy Ghost to move upon them. Loose the angel of the Lord. Ask the Lord to loose an angel of the Lord to minister unto them, to bring them to a place of repentance. And let the Lord do it. And then you thank the Lord for doing it. And don't be a tormentor in your own spirit and unto them that torments you and also drives them farther from the Lord because of you continually tormenting them. You'll get a lot more done if you do it that way. Witness to them. Be a witness. Leave them. And then be that witness in deed and in truth. Luke chapter 1, verse 74. That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So let us make that our prayer, that we might serve the Lord in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. And then the Lord will tell us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and the 16th verse, we are given a commandment whereby we are called unto holiness. For he says, because it is written. Satan, it is written. It says, be ye holy. Glenn Miller, be ye holy. For the Lord says, I am holy. Lord, help us. That the Spirit of the Lord will convict us and show us the error of our ways, that we may walk in holiness before him. Now, here Peter says, it is written. So, if it is written, and now it's rewritten again by Peter, let's go over in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7. And we'll just read what Peter quoted. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. For I am the Lord your God. So he's calling us all to a walk of righteousness and holiness before the world. First of all, he's calling us to that walk before him. And then we will be holiness unto the Lord before the world. And help us, each one, to search the scriptures and find the areas of our lives that are displeasing unto the Lord. And remove the idols and the adultery before the Lord. And sexual adultery, too, if that is there. But help us to remove these things from our lives and part our ways, that we be not partakers of the things of Egypt, and that God would spew us out of his mouth because we refuse to honor the Lord Jesus. There's a lot of things in these days that God is calling us to separate ourselves from. And a lot of them, a lot of people are rebelling against. And they say, I can't see that. Well, anything that the Lord says is an abomination unto him, I believe is still an abomination unto him. And we need to search the abominations that God says an abomination unto him. And then let the Spirit of the Lord work on us, that we may be a people that are called unto holiness, that he can use in this last hour to bring deliverance to his people. But he's got to have a people that he can trust and depend on and believe in. The Lord has to be able to believe in us, that he can depend on us for that which he calls us to, that we will be a people that will flow with harmony and unity and love, and carry that harmony and unity together as we battle the powers of the Antichrist and Satan that are rising fast before us in the land today. Praise the Lord. Penny, let's sing, Oh, the Blood of Jesus, for that's what washes and cleanses us. That's what removes the spots and the wrinkles. And that gives us, the blood of Jesus, gives us a right to come in and claim holiness before the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Come on, help sing. That's not the word. Tony, that's the end.
While I get organized, you can turn to Joel, second chapter, please. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see all of you, and I see Brother Bullock got all of his problems solved. Bless you. And we have some new people from Pascagoula, Mississippi. That's a dear place to our heart, because before we moved here, I think one of the last big projects we worked on for the government was that big ship project that you people got the contract for. Maybe you work there, do you, in the shipyard? Praise God. Maybe we helped you get that job. We worked, I think, day and night for 7 weeks. We wrote and helped type and edit and printed, I think it was 25,000 pages three times before they finalized it in 7 weeks. We had 5,000 illustrations and pictures of that big ship for that planned war that's sure to come. It's been in the planning since 1972 is when we came and heard about it. And I don't want to scare you, but truth is truth. Fact is fact. The Bible says there will be wars and rumors of wars, doesn't it? This war is planned on the sea. They've planned it for many years. It's coming, and those big boats down there in Pascagoula, Mississippi, that's being built, will be used. I didn't even plan to say that. I don't know why I said it, but anyway, it's still true. I think if there's any passage in the Word of God that stirs my heart, it's the second chapter of Joel. And I don't claim to be any theologian, really. I'm just an old granny. But I love the Bible. You know, sometimes people run up to me and they say, do you have a word for me? And I said, well, no, but the Lord does. Open the Bible and he'll talk to you. The other night, right in the middle of sometime in my sleep, he woke me up. Now, Glenn never tells me, and I never know when I'm going to be called upon. But he spoke to me some words out of the book of Joel. And I had to look them up the next morning, and I was thinking about it, meditating at my desk, and I think it was last week, and we had lots of things to do, but I took time for a few minutes to look up something that the Lord had said to me. And maybe you might be interested in what he said to me. Maybe it will help you. And that's what we're going to talk about. Now, the first part of the book of Joel, the second chapter of the book of Joel, I'd love to talk about that because it's very thrilling. It's about this great army that's coming forth. And it's about all this shaking that the Lord says he's going to shake us. And it's about moving into that total anointing. And the 10th verse says, the earth shall quake before them. That's his people. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. The stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. We're part of it right here this morning. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? That makes me tremble sometimes. I don't know if I can abide it or not, but I sure want to, and I want his help. Then he goes on, therefore also now, right now, today, saith the Lord, turn you even to me with all of your heart. And with fastings, and with weeping, and with mourning. Now, if there's anything I can't stand, or didn't used to be able to stand, was a crying woman. One of these damsels in distress, always falling in some man's arms, crying, you know, about her problems. When I used to manage and type, this big typing groups that we used to manage, we didn't have time when you had thousands of pages to type for some crying woman that didn't know how to make a alpha or some other Greek letter, you know, and you had to stop, and she cried, and I used to really say to her, put your hands on the keyboard and start to type, forget all this, forget your problems. But the Lord wants us to weep before him and to mourn for the people, for ourselves. We need to weep and mourn over our own things in our own heart. And fasting. Fasting. Now we do it here every Thursday. That's a decree that Glenn has issued that the campground fast and pray on Thursday. Breakfast and lunch. Now, we used to do it in the evening meal also, but when the men were working so hard on this building, we didn't feel it was wisdom to require that. But the Lord requires all of us to come into fasting. I think, if you want my opinion about overweight, I think the Lord has two things in the Word. Now, we've got diets coming out our ears, and in January you'll see hundreds of diets. Everybody's going to lose weight. But I believe that one of the major things that God ordained for our weight is dancing before Him in our own house and in the house of God and fasting. Now, that's my opinion. You say, well, you don't look too skinny yourself. Well, I'm preaching to myself this morning because the Lord spoke this to me. I'm just sharing this. And if it helps you, praise God. The 13th verse. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious, He is merciful, He is slow to anger. Takes Him a long time to get angry. But He can do it. He's very kind, and He repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if He will return and repent and leave a blessing behind Him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. And then it goes on, blow your trumpet, sanctify fast. But the word the Lord spoke to me the other night in the night was the word rend. Rend your heart. How many really have ever thought about what the word rend means? Now, I'm basically a secretary, or have been for years. So the dictionary, I go to the dictionary if I don't understand. Now, I've got lots of dictionaries, but the other day back on the book table, I picked up that Webster's, and I looked up the word rend. And if you want to write it down, you can. If you want to write these words down, then you can work with them later. To rend means to tear apart. To pull or rip with violence. To split with violence. It used an example. A roar rends the air. Sort of cuts it. Anguish is another meaning. To grieve is another meaning. To separate into pieces by force. You see, if I understand English, and poor Brother Corley, he'll have to correct me when this is over if I've done something wrong, but the 13th chapter starts out with and. Well, we've always been taught don't start with a conjunction, but it kind of comes from the verse before, so that's okay. And it should read, or could read, you rend your heart. Don't expect me to rend your heart, your own heart. Don't expect God to rend your heart. You do it. Is that an understood subject? You rend your heart. Tear into it. Puncture it says. That's another meaning. Disrupt. I tell you, there was some disruption in here last night. Brother Corley was disrupting a few theologies and a few. It didn't bother me. I just say, plow on, man, plow on. Break up our fallow ground. Get rid of those thistles. Get rid of all those weeds. Plow up so we can bear fruit. Go right on plowing, Brother Corley. You can do it here anytime. Just plow. Praise God. Now, do you understand now what this word rend means? Now, when I was a little girl, and that was a long time ago, I went to a schoolhouse in the country where the teacher taught all 8 grades. First grade reading passed to the front, second grade reading, third right on up to the 8th grade, and then arithmetic passed up, and heaven only knows how that poor teacher could teach all of us so much when one teacher can't even teach one grade now. But that teacher loved us, and she taught us And I praise God for teachers. I really do. But this rending your heart, I tell you, she used to tell us, Irma, I want you to learn that by heart. Now, what did she really mean? See, the word heart and mind go very close together. They're almost, you know what I mean? Learn that by heart. In other words, let it be so in you that you can just bring it out. Learn that poem by heart. Learn the Word of God by heart. I want to turn now to Sister Corley's scripture, Acts 8. Now, this is about Philip. He went down to the city of Samaria to preach Christ. The people, in sixth verse, were with one accord. If everybody in this house today, if we were all in one accord, who knows what would happen? I tell you, who knows? They gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. Hearing. You know, you can sit in church for weeks, years, and never hear a thing, really. But they heard what Philip had to say. They saw the miracles that he did. Unclean spirits cried with loud voices. We have that here all the time. They came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and the lame were healed. There was great joy in the city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people, giving out that himself was some great one. Oh, God, sometimes I want to... Have you ever just wanted to vomit when all these great ones came up? They had so much. We have them occasionally pass through here or phone us. They need $5,000 for 3 days. They want to take up money for their orphanage. They want our mailing list. They want this and they want that. They're great ones. Simon was one of those. And even the people believed that he was one great one. They believed that. They were bewitched, weren't they? He had them totally under mind control, totally under his authority. But it was the devil's authority. They'd go around saying, isn't Simon great? He has such power with God. Isn't he great? I say, what God? What God? There's lots of gods. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, that word believed is very important to us today. Glenn was touching on that. They preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Then Simon himself believed. But he still had, Sister Corley went into that, he still had things still yet in his heart that had to be torn out. His rending of his heart, the love of money, the love of power, the love of being something big and great, all that had to come out of him yet. There are many of us been saved for years. There's many of us that are still getting delivered. I'm not ashamed to say I'm still getting delivered. Well, I'm far from perfection. All I have to do is say, am I like Jesus? Well, some partly. But he says, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So I have to rend out those things. I have to face them. Oh, they're terrible. But you have to face the things that's in your own heart that have to come out. But God says, you rend them. You tear into that thing. Some days I get on one word, the Lord will just give me one word, and I just really tear it down, look up all the scriptures, look in the encyclopedias, all my dictionaries. I tear in to a word. But this word, this unbelief, last night it was here prevalent. I don't know if it's here this morning or not. If it is, I don't feel it right now. But Jesus, in Mark 9:23, he says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to you. But look in Matthew 13:58 now for a minute. Now this is Jesus. Matthew 13:58. And Jesus, says he, did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Jesus couldn't even do the mighty works because of their unbelief. Now look, turn over to 17:20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, the disciples come and say, why can't we cast out that spirit of epilepsy? Why can't we cast it out? They tried and they couldn't cast it out. There's sometimes we can't cast out spirits out of people. A lot of times they just come out like this, this, this. There's other times they don't come out. That makes you come down to size, you know. Get a few cases that just really stymie you. Then you have to go back to your fasting and back to your praying and back to your grieving and back to your crying and ask the Lord, why can't we cast it out? And it goes right back. Jesus gives us the answer. You don't have to come to me and ask. You don't have to go to anybody. Go to Jesus. He says, because of your unbelief. And he was talking to his own disciples, those people that were following him closely, talking to him every day. He says, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind goeth out not but by prayer and fasting. Now let's look at Mark 6. Now this is Jesus again. Let's start at the 4th verse. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled himself because of their unbelief. As he went about the villages teaching, he marveled at them. Now let's go to Mark 16, 14th verse. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And I wondered what that word upbraideth meant. I know Jesus is love and God is love and we're all love and everything is lovely. But really, I'm not really here if you have itching ears to help you. I'm here trying to show you that we need to rend our hearts and be sorry for some of the things. When Jesus upbraided them, the dictionary says criticized severely. He found fault with them. He scolded them vehemently. He berated them and he reproved them. Is that love? I ask you, is that love, Brother Corley? When my father, who was an Assembly of God minister since about 1931, when he says to me, Irma, if you do that again in church, I'm going to skin you alive. Was that love? Talk about taking all my skin off of me. I knew what he meant. He meant I'll take you to the woodshed and the hickory switch. That was love. That was love. I stopped and thought about it when he talked to me like that. If you do that again in church, I'll skin you alive. He upbraided me, didn't he? Jesus upbraided them about their unbelief. Now, this poor boy back there, some of you are new here this morning. That boy's much better than he was when he first came. But he's not totally delivered. He's crying out, help. Isn't he? Why do you think he's not delivered? That's right. That's what Jesus said. We all go around, we're believers, sure, we're believers, we're believers, we're believers. The Lord always has some case coming around here to let us know we need a little more of Jesus. We need a little more of heart rendering. We haven't arrived yet. We're far from it. Now, that won't help your itching ears, I know. I. But it's still the truth. I'm a very logical person. I've heard a lot of anointed speeches at Lockheed Aircraft, Litton, Douglas, all of those big companies. They used to rev us up, we called it. They'd get us out in the main auditorium, and some man would get up and they'd tell us how we're, way back in 1951, 52, how we're going to make a man walk on the moon. Of course, we hardly knew where the moon was in those days. And they'd rev us up into such a spirit of expectancy that we'd go in there and work our hearts out to get that man on the moon. And he went up there. But I'm not here to rev you up this morning. I could rev you up and tell you there's going to be a rapture probably this afternoon. We're all going to go away and play our harps. And I always say in my mansion, I want cheese, crackers, and pickles. That's my favorite snack. I'm not here to rev you up this morning. God didn't give me that. He says, rend your hearts. There's lots more things than unbelief, but unbelief, I think if we got rid of all of the unbelief in here today, that boy would be delivered. I believe it. You know what? I have in the top of my Bible, in the first chapter of Luke, written. I wrote this down one time. Unbelief makes us dumb. I also have Isaiah 7:9. If you cannot believe, you'll never be established. You know why I say unbelief makes us dumb? Because Zacharias did not believe the angel of the Lord. Now, he was right up there, very close to the Holy of Holies. He was right at the altar of incense. He was right there in the presence of Almighty God. And the angel come and he talked to him. And he told him all these things, and he didn't believe it. Fear fell on him, and he didn't believe it. And the angel said to him, "Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words." That's pretty earth-shaking. To think we get up into a high realm of the spirit of worship and praise, and we're still not believing like we should. Now, if a missile destructed or didn't fly, or they always had troubleshooting charts. The engineers made, we used to type millions of troubleshooting charts. Probable cause and remedy. Trouble, first column, probable cause, and remedy. Now, what is our remedy for unbelief this morning? I want to read you just a few more scriptures. I know it's getting late, but I want to read you in Hebrews, third chapter of Hebrews, if you want to turn there. Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Evil. Did you know that unbelief was evil? To have an unbelieving heart is evil? That's what the Bible says. Now turn over, go down to the 19th verse. So we see that they could not enter in, talking about entering into his rest, because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. Now turn over 4:6. Hebrews 4:6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Now, according to our troubleshooting chart, we were all engineers in here, and we were going to work on this. We'd put down the trouble. The trouble is unbelief. We haven't been able to get this spirit out of this boy yet, and maybe out of a lot of all the others here. How many honestly will say you've come for deliverance and you haven't really received all you want yet? Sure, be honest. Sure, there's more. The trouble would be unbelief this morning, the probable cause, is us, our hearts. We have some unbelief in there that needs to be rended out, torn out. Just tear it out. Get violent with that spirit of unbelief. And the remedy would be, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. All things are possible. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Now, without any revving up, how many here would like to rend your own heart today of unbelief? We'll just work on the one subject, unbelief. Do you want? I want it. I'm not standing up here as anybody perfect, and I'm not standing up here playing church. At 60 years old, you get tired of playing. You know, you don't want to play no more. You want to really get to the nitty-gritty. I don't want to play church anymore. I don't. I don't think we have time. Now, if Glenn says we got, if I have to live another 60 years with him, I don't know. If he's going to live another 60 years, I'll have to be right there beside him. We've always worked as a team. We're not always in perfect agreement, I have to admit that. But eventually, he swings me around. You know, we didn't think up this place. The Lord did. And he gave Glenn a vision. And I came here screaming and kicking and dragging my feet. But once I got here, I've thrown my whole body, soul, and spirit into this. I figure one of my little grandsons said to me one day, I think I was grieving over our big home and everything we left behind. We were living in this mobile home and no place to put anything, you know. And he says, Nanny, do you think you'll have to live here the rest of your life? And I said, I think so. He said, oh. But, you know, the Lord is so good to us. And since we're all here, and the Lord brought you all here, didn't he? The Holy Ghost brought you here. We're just a little nobodies, really. Glenn and I'd really rather go up to the Holiday Inn and get a job cleaning the restrooms than really to take up an offering. Glenn and I both feel like that, really. But God put us here. We didn't think it up. And God's taken care of us. We've been here 7 years, and we've been building and building, and it is hard. Well, I'm not standing up here telling you it's easy. A lot of people come up to me and say, oh, I sure envy you. Oh. That's why I tore in, I think, to that word envy. I rended my heart, and I tore into that word, looking it up in encyclopedias, everything I could find, scriptures, in the last magazine. I don't know how many have read it. Envy will kill you. It will kill you, literally. Envy will kill you. If you haven't read the article, would you like to read it? We'll get some magazines out here. I know some of you haven't even received your magazine yet. But the Lord wants us to rend our hearts today. He wants us to cry out to Him. The last verse of the second chapter of Joel says, there shall be deliverance. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. We can be delivered from unbelief, can't we? Can't we, Sister Corley, be delivered from unbelief? Can't we have the power and authority that Jesus has given to us? Can't we have that? Sure we can. It's for all of us. How many here will stand to your feet and say, honestly, I want to be delivered. I want my heart rendered totally of unbelief. Will you stand? Anybody who means it. I mean, really mean it. Really mean it. Really mean it. Come forward. Come up. And we're going to ask you, row by row, to come. And we're going to lay hands on you after we pray a moment. But very orderly and very quietly. If we can all come into an agreement, but if we can come into an agreement in one accord and rend our hearts of unbelief. Do you agree with me? Are you in agreement? Tear out, Lord Jesus. Say this prayer. Lord Jesus, help us to rend our hearts of unbelief. We repent before you this morning. We cry for the unbelief that's in us. We're sorry, Lord. We hate it, Jesus. You took all of the time to die on the cross. You shed your blood for us to wash away this unbelief out of our hearts. And we've neglected to rend ourselves and admit it and come to Thee. And Lord, this morning we're here by divine appointment, by Your intervention of the Holy Spirit, to bring us into a unity, and to power that You've already won for us,
that You've already given to us.
And we've looked at You and said, no, we don't know if we want that or not, Lord. But Lord, we do want it this morning. We want to be totally delivered of unbelief. We don't want one little cell of unbelief left in us. One little root. Lord, we rend our hearts this morning. We cry out to Thee, Lord Jesus. We cry out this morning for the body of Christ, that this deliverance shall come forth. Lord, that we will be deliverers in Zion. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Cleanse us by Your precious blood. We let it flow down over our hearts. We open our hearts, Lord, to Thee. We open our hearts to Thee, Lord. We admit, Lord, that we have harbored this unbelief. We've wondered, oh, no, we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. We've listened to the enemy too long, Lord. We're sorry. We're sorry, Lord. We're sorry, Jesus. We're sorry, but we thank You that You shed Your blood that we might be relieved of this terrible thing of unbelief, that we might be delivered from it. Because we cry out to You, Lord, Your word is true. You've never lied to us. Your words are true. Whoever calls shall be delivered. And we call on You now. In our own way, we call on You to deliver us and to deliver Thy people, that we may go forth from this camp meeting in victory. Lord, we know there's many other things down in our hearts that we need to rend and admit to. Lord, help us to be honest, as Glenn said, as he read Your word, lie not one to another. Speak truth one to another. Lord, we would see You this morning. We would see Jesus. We would see the blood of Jesus flowing over our hearts. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I would like just... one minute. I would like the brethren to lay hands on me and deliver me from the spirit of unbelief. I think the ministers. Say, let the ministers cry between the porch and the altar. We haven't wept enough over our own problems. And I want to be delivered today. I don't mind standing up here. If this is going to bring me in closer to Jesus, I want it. Pride goes. Dignity goes. We don't care what people think. We only care what Jesus thinks about us. We only care about the power that He entrusts us with.
I was thinking that all of we here should pray for each other before we pray for the people. Amen.
I made a study one time in the Greek of James 5:14, 15, and 16. And it was, says, confess your faults to one another, and if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders, anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save him. That word sick not only means physically sick, but it also means if you have in your heart doubt, you can be healed of it through the anointing of oil. And so when Irma said, let's call for the elders and let them anoint us with oil, I realized that she was being very scriptural. It's not only for your physical healing, but... James, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, said if there's the sickness in you of doubt, It can be healed through the anointing of oil and the prayer of the righteous people of God.
Hallelujah. The more sure you are of the Lord and what He's already done, sometimes the less you have to do. Just touch Him.
That's right.
Then sometimes you can't help. Just jump in and shout too. Something's happening to you. And I want you to practice it while you're here. Just impart it. Just find somebody that's really needing it without their even knowing it. And just believe it. There's somebody right back there.
One night at the close of the service, we were real tired and only had a minute. And I just anointed a woman with oil. And then we had to leave. And she wrote me a letter and told me of the anointing that stayed on for her for days and healed at least 25 different personality defects in her. And all we did was just touch her. See, there was nothing, not even a prayer. It's Jesus that does it. And all we have to do is release our faith.
You're precious. Let's just all release faith toward these here. Hallelujah. All right, just lay your hands on her right now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's release it right now. In the name of Jesus. Oh, how we bless thee. How we bless thee.
Oh, but thy latter end shall be greater than even thy beginning.
Yes.
For thy God hath set thee free, and hath set thee free to be an oil of joy within the body. And thou shalt not necessarily stand in front of a pulpit. But as thou dost even touch thy brother and sister, there shall flow out of thee from this day forth an anointing of faith. And thou shalt be one that shall stand and support the ministry in prayers and in giving. But as thou dost stand even in the back of a room and begin to have faith for others in the room as one is preaching, thou shalt see demons leave, thou shalt see healings come. For I'm calling thee to be a daughter, a servant in the midst of the body, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Sometimes the greatest ministry that can take place takes place from right back there when somebody can see and intercede and believe. I heard a friend of mine said he went to a meeting once and the preaching was so bad and was so unanointed that some of them began to just travail in the Spirit, believing, praying. They couldn't do anything. He was so bad. And he said that the Spirit of God just moved, fell, just came in all that place. So sometimes, you know, some of us, when the preaching is so bad and everything's so bad, we'll just sit there and criticize. The Lord's not going to let you do that. He's going to cause you to just believe, just pray, and just pump life to others.
Praise God.
You know, Ruth has been a great inspiration to me. I've known her for many years.
She's shorter than you are.
Ruth is the first person who ever gave an offering to me, because she gave it to me. And I couldn't believe it. I cried and everything. But she came one time at a full gospel convention and gave me some money because she said the Lord told her that she was to give it to me. And that's the first offering that was ever I ever received that someone gave because the Lord sent it.
Amen.
I'm close.
Amen. Now, don't be quick to move away. You know, now here's someone else. You begin to practice.
Here.
On.
Here.
Right now.
You're on the
floor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this young man.
Yes.
Petro Ravone, they call him. What's his name?
Daniel.
Hallelujah.
13 years old.
Praise the Lord.
Mighty Daniel,
is he? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On this young life, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let him become even a mightier man in spirit. We loose him even at this crucial time in his life. We loose him for the workings of your spirit, to bring forth in him such maturity and understanding of your ways. This shall be a man of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just set a seal upon him that would keep him from the many snares that reach out to lay a hold of young men. We loose him from the bondages of deception and the holes that the of carnality that would try to reach out and destroy him. We loose him for you and for your kingdom, for your purposes, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, even calls you to be a believer.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
He's named after a great believer, isn't he?
God calls you just to believe his word.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You'll believe your Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you.
Oh, Jesus.
They're coming from that direction. Just keep in prayer now. Attitude of prayer and believing. When I talked about fasting, I didn't know how the Lord was going to end this service, but girls in the kitchen, don't worry about it. Worry about eating. We don't maybe need to eat.
Hallelujah.
You know, that word really witnesses. The Lord was speaking to me and saying, you shall see the faithfulness of God in the land of living. There's some things apparently you've been praying and seeking God for, and some that are impossible and hard things, but you're going to see the faithfulness of God, and you're even going to come back and stand before people and say, God is faithful.
Praise you, Father. Father, we come against all unbelief.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, I
love
you.
Oh, yeah.
Lucifer, Father, in Jesus' name,
Jesus,
that she shall be a believing believer.
Yes.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Let her be established, Lord.
Thank you.
We loose you in the name of Jesus from hurt, disappointment. We loose you to accept yourself in him. Mm. To be at ease in knowing him, to be relaxed in your relationship with the Lord, that out from you then may come workings of his Holy Spirit. The Lord will teach you to pray. Yea, he will cause you to look upon fields, yea, upon cities,
Then he shall cause you with a spirit of faith to pray for great things, even for the moving of the Holy Spirit upon a whole town. God, we release this woman right now. We release this woman right now into this most important ministry. Yay, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Put your hands up, honey. Praise the Lord.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Break the yoke off
her.
Break the yoke off her.
In the name of the Lord. Jesus' name.
Break the Lord would break forth a stony heart this day and put a heart of silk, a heart of joy, and a heart of love and compassion, and take away all stones. A heart of gentleness and kindness and meekness and goodness to pour forth and move mountains, to move cities and valleys. In the name of Jesus.
Is there some relative, a child, a relative that you've been praying about? The Lord spoke to me. I saw someone in the spirit of person who said it was a close relative that you've been praying about their salvation. In the name of Jesus, we agree with you, and we loose that person now in salvation. We take away the darkness that has kept them from accepting Jesus. Father, you spoke to me that we would agree and faith together that this loved one would be saved. So we loose that power now to go out and say that.
Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's been a dark something binding them, but in the name of Jesus, we lift it.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. We come against unbelief in this life in Jesus' name. We rebuke it, bind it up in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
David, you've been much in my heart and prayer. I want to loose you this morning from a control of a spirit that's not been his Holy Spirit. We loose you in Jesus' name. We loose you in the name of Jesus. Yes, we can bubble the book of shells and love the book of the world. Oh, Tima, come
to
the door of the book of shells and the I want you to reject, renounce it right now. Renounce the use of it and the reception of it. You've even received it in some ways that you haven't known. But you renounce the very spirit of it.
I renounce all mind control in Jesus' name and any use of it. In Jesus' name.
You're coming
to over.
In the name of Jesus.
You're through. There's a
host of
you.
We come at you in the name of Jesus and bring a deep sentence that brings you inoperative. You have no more force or influence, whatever, in this life.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.